tonight, growing concern of a government shutdown. One day till the deadline, both sides digging in, and President Trump adding to the confusion. We'll tell you how a shutdown could impact your family, from travel plans dashed to a lot of paychecks delayed. Shocking new details inside that California House of Horrors.
These defendants eventually began using chains and padlocks to chain up the victims to their beds.
What it was like for those 13 starving siblings saved by their 17-year-old sister, who police say planned her escape for 2 years. YouTube fighting back against a dangerous dare. Believe it or not, kids challenging each other to eat laundry detergent pods. An alert for parents tonight. Finalists revealed in the Amazon sweepstakes. A lot of jobs on the line. Did your city make the cut? And holy matrimony. Imagine being married by the Pope himself aboard his plane. One couple's flight of a lifetime.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester, and here we go again. The Washington cliffhanger Americans have gotten all too used to. Will the government keep running, or are we headed for yet another shutdown? Tonight, each party flexing muscles, exerting leverage, doing the political calculus. Who has the most to lose? Who will be blamed if it all goes south? We start tonight where the action is, Capitol Hill and NBC's Casey Hunt.
On Capitol Hill, pleading their case directly to senators.
But that's why the Dream Act supports
these dreamers' futures as uncertain as the scramble behind closed doors in Washington, where tonight it's increasingly likely the federal government will be closed come Saturday morning.
Do you think that we're headed for a shutdown?
You know, I don't know.
The House set to vote tonight to keep the doors open, but only for the next month.
I have confidence we'll pass this because I think members understand why on earth would we want to have a government shutdown.
But in the Senate, Democrats are digging in. A senior Democratic aide telling NBC News they have the votes to force a shutdown.
Do you think Democrats should take a stand for Dreamers and not vote for this?
I think we ought to take a stand for sanity.
Democrats under pressure to show they're standing up to President Trump.
Could happen. We'll see what happens. It's up to the Democrats.
But Republicans control Congress and the White House. Leader Mitch McConnell planning to keep senators in Washington through the weekend, holding votes aimed at embarrassing the Democratic senators running for re-election in 2018.
You think Democrats would take the blame for a shutdown?
I'm not even going to go to that discussion because I think we're still negotiating and it's not over till it's over.
If there is a shutdown, much of the federal government would be closed by Monday. Employees furloughed, including 61% of those at the CDC during a major flu epidemic. Some monuments, many national parks, the National Zoo would be shuttered, and passport renewals could be delayed. Left still waiting would be the dreamers, like Reyna Montoya, whose parents fled Mexico when she was 13.
All the things that I have felt in this country, in my home back in Mesa, Arizona, they can be taken away if this Congress doesn't act.
Late tonight, House Republicans sticking together, voting to pass the continuing resolution. But now it heads to the Senate, where Democrats are vowing to oppose it. And there are just over 24 hours before the government is set to shut down. Savannah.
All right, Casey, starting us off, thank you. High anxiety as well at the White House, as Casey mentioned, as the budget deadline nears. The president showed his frustration and was full of blame on a visit to a factory. As White House correspondent Kristen Welker reports now, he lashed out at Democrats, but also sent some mixed signals.
Sharp words in Pittsburgh today. President Trump accusing Democrats of trying to force a government shutdown.
The Democrats want to see a shutdown to get off this subject because this subject is not working for them. The tax cuts and tax reform has not been working well for the Democrats. Now,
but potentially complicating that strategy, the president's own mixed messages, including on the issue of CHIP, the Children's Health Care Program, which provides health care to some 9 million low-income children. Right now, the GOP short-term budget bill includes funding for CHIP for 6 years. But this morning, Mr. Trump tweeted, CHIP should be a part of a long-term solution, not a 30-day or short-term extension. That sparking widespread confusion on Capitol Hill, the White House trying to clarify.
Yes, he supports the CHIP program and he supports the continuing resolution.
Adding to the turmoil, the president also seemed to be at odds with his own chief of staff, John Kelly, over the issue of immigration, a key part of the budget battle. Kelly reportedly privately telling a group of lawmakers yesterday there will be no border wall along the entire southern border, and saying last night on Fox News,
you know, this has been an evolutionary process that this president has gone through.
But Mr. Trump firing back on Twitter today, insisting the wall is the wall. It has never changed or evolved from the first day I conceived of it. Late today, Mr. Trump trying to mend that apparent rift.
I think General Kelly has done a really great job.
So has the mixed messaging undercut the president's ability to lead the thorny budget negotiations?
The president has sown confusion on a series of issues. He has made it more difficult to come to an agreement than it otherwise should have been.
Tonight, one top White House official tells me the odds of a shutdown were 1 in 4 yesterday and now about 50%. Adding urgency, Saturday marks 1 year since the president was sworn into office, and a government shutdown would cast a major cloud, Savannah.
Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. And now to the story whose details are almost too awful to utter and impossible to understand. We are learning more about the unthinkable conditions 13 siblings were forced to endure, a torture chamber, as one official called it, all allegedly at the hands of their own parents. Well, today those parents appeared in court. NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer with more now and a warning. The details are disturbing.
Complaint. And simply enter pleas of not guilty.
Pleading not guilty in court.
Do you understand that right? Yeah.
David and Louise Turpin facing multiple counts of torture and imprisonment. David Turpin accused of committing a lewd act on a child.
This is severe emotional, physical abuse. There's no way around that. These defendants are facing up to 94 years to life in prison.
The district attorney says the 13 children lived in a home described as a torture chamber. They were chained, abused, and allowed to shower only once a year. Tonight, a law enforcement official tells NBC News the children were fed one rationed meal each day.
They began to be tied up, first with ropes. One victim at one point was tied up and hog-tied.
The victims are so weak, they're receiving antibiotics and nutrition through an IV. So malnourished, they could still go into shock. The Turpin's 29-year-old daughter weighs just 82 pounds.
These defendants eventually began using chains and padlocks to chain up the victims to their beds.
The alleged abuse got worse over time. There were beatings and strangulation.
They were not allowed to have toys. Although there were many toys found in the house that were in their original package and had never been opened.
The rooms inside this home were urine-filled. The children were not unchained to use the bathroom.
The parents would apparently buy food for themselves and not allow the children to eat it.
Tonight, David and Louise Turpin shackled and hauled back to jail, a confinement, say investigators, more humane than what they subjected their own children to.
When investigators arrived here, they say a 22-year-old was chained to a bed. They say many of the children didn't even know what a police officer was. Hundreds of journals kept by the children have also been recovered. And tonight, Savannah, the district attorney says the suspects, the parents in this case, used to eat cake and pie in front of their starving children as they were forced to sit there and watch. Savannah.
Miguel Almaguer, thank you for your report. We move now to the deadly flu epidemic. As that virus continues to spread, doctors say this season could be much longer than they thought. Even another 13 weeks as more lives are lost. And scientists are searching desperately tonight for a better vaccine. Here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Across the country,
the flu has claimed another life in Massachusetts.
It's getting even more deadly in California.
The flu is hitting hard and fast.
By Tuesday morning, he was gone.
Young and old, even previously healthy people are dying. An aggressive strain circulating. A new thermometer that connects to a smartphone, the Kinza, records fevers and symptoms in real time. Data showing more than 12 million people may now have the flu. The most cases around St. Louis. According to the CDC, 78% of samples tested this year have been the most aggressive of the 4 known flu strains.
H3N2.
Our vaccine is probably least effective against H3N2. Slightly less vaccine immunity and slightly more aggressiveness, it ends up being a bad year. These are flu viruses.
New York's Mount Sinai Hospital is one of the places looking for a vaccine that covers all strains and mutations.
Why is it so hard to find a vaccine that works across the board?
It's always changing. And we need about 6 months to make a vaccine.
The National Institutes of Health has designated a so-called super vaccine a top priority. One vaccine you wouldn't have to get every year. It's being tested, but could still be 5 to 10 years away. So for now, the CDC is pushing the vaccine it does have.
Protect your family. Everyone needs a flu vaccine.
And a lot of hand washing, with as much as 3 months of flu season still to go. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
Parts of the South are struggling to recover tonight after days of frigid temperatures, snow and ice, a combination that turned out to be deadly. NBC's Tammy Leitner has more from the frozen South.
Tonight, crashes from Georgia to North Carolina. At least 12 dead from a deep freeze across the South. First responders fighting through the snow after this rig jackknifed. Rivers frozen solid in Maine and Connecticut.
We're running into ice that's about 3 feet thick in some spots.
And in Tampa, rarely seen black ice. In Louisiana, an 8-month-old baby died after a car lost control on an icy road. In Greensboro, North Carolina, the accidents kept coming.
We had over 150 reported accidents yesterday in the city of Greensboro, which is unusual for us.
Forcing residents like Byron Bailiff to walk the 7 miles round trip to check on his 90-year-old mother.
The roads were impassable yesterday. I didn't want to put anybody at danger.
With more bitter cold expected Friday morning and many schools closed for yet another day, kids like Mackenzie are making the best of it.
Daddy, should this be good?
Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Could as many as 50,000 new jobs be coming to your city? The answer may be yes, depending on where Amazon decides to build its second headquarters. And today, the competition was narrowed to just 20 finalists. Here's NBC's business correspondent, Jolene Kent.
Amazon will feel right at home here.
Of the nearly 240 bids from across America, the 20 finalists are mostly in the East and South, from big cities like Boston, Dallas, and Atlanta, to the midsize like Columbus, Raleigh, and Nashville. Miami is rolling out the red carpet.
I don't know of any other property that has this much contiguous land under the same ownership that they can offer Amazon a one holistic solution.
Philadelphia is offering $1 billion in tax breaks.
It is a game changer for us. 50,000 jobs, well-paying jobs, can change an entire city and change an entire culture.
The competition between close neighbors is fierce, too. We're here in Newark, New Jersey, which is going head-to-head against New York City, just 12 miles to the east.
Washington, D.C., facing off against nearby Northern Virginia and Montgomery County, Maryland.
The 20 cities are going to be assiduously courting Amazon. The jobs multiplier of Amazon picking your city is endless, and it's going to be probably at least 5 times the number of employees that Amazon actually hires.
As Seattle knows, the online shopping giant can also bring more traffic and higher housing prices. Amazon says it will deliver its decision later this year. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Newark, New Jersey.
Still ahead, the dangerous craze sweeping social media. It has parents baffled, teens daring each other to eat laundry pods. Also, is there a new baby boom happening across the country? Stay with us. We are back with a bizarre and dangerous trend that has parents and health authorities alarmed. Teenagers daring one another to bite into laundry detergent pods. In response, tonight YouTube says it will take down videos that show kids doing it. We get more now from NBC's Blake McCoy.
Bite.
It's the latest head-scratching social media craze, and 16-year-old Chris Oseguera has done it.
Yeah, I could taste the chemicals. This is not a good thing to taste.
Teens intentionally ingesting highly toxic Tide laundry pods and posting the videos to YouTube, challenging others to do the same. Now YouTube says it will remove the videos because they encourage dangerous activities.
No.
It comes days after football star Rob Gronkowski teamed up with Tide, urging kids to stop.
What the heck is going on, people?
Consumer groups are also sounding the alarm.
It really has gone too far. And the teenagers that are doing this need to understand that this is reckless, that this is a poisonous substance that they're putting into their bodies.
Detergent pods already under fire for resembling candy. Last year, poison control centers reported more than 10,000 kids under the age of 5 coming into contact with the pods. It's too early for numbers on older kids intentionally ingesting them. Osagera's video has already been taken off YouTube.
Why did you do this? What made you do this?
It's just that I really wanted the views, and I thought, and I guess that I think I wanted to try it.
He's now posted it to Twitter, a quest for more clicks as social media cracks down on this dangerous new trend. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Chicago.
We're back in a moment with a dramatic rescue in the ocean, the innovative way two boys were saved in dangerous surf. Some fascinating new numbers out tonight on women and fertility. A Pew study found that American women are waiting longer to have children. The median age at which women become mothers is now 26 compared to 23 back in 1994. They may be waiting longer, but women are now more likely to have children than they were a decade ago. 86% have children, compared with 80% 10 years ago. Caught on police dash cam, a terrifying highway close call. Watch this. A car spinning out of control, slamming into a tow truck, and then going airborne. The tow truck driver barely escaped with his life, but amazingly, nobody was injured. Michigan State Police released this video to remind everyone to slow down in these snowy and icy conditions. And a remarkable scene in Australia today. Two teenage boys became caught in dangerous high surf, but instead of lifeguards trying to save them, a drone was deployed and it dropped an inflatable rescue raft. The boys quickly grabbed onto it as the waves crashed over them. This was described as the world's first water rescue by drone, and it took about 2 minutes from the drone's launch. When we come back tonight, the unusual scene on the Pope's plane today. Matrimony about as holy as it gets. And finally tonight, the mid-air marriage that has hearts soaring all over the world. A wedding personally performed on a plane by Pope Francis himself. Here's NBC's Keir Simmons.
The happy couple still flying high tonight after a dazzling display of holy matrimony. That's Pope Francis at 36,000 feet in a papal first, marrying two Chilean flight attendants in an impromptu ceremony.
Something totally extraordinary happened today.
It began when Pope Francis was taking photos with airline staff, and Paola Podest and Carlo Siafardi told him they're a couple. They married in a civil service 8 years ago, but couldn't have a ceremony after the 2010 Chilean earthquake destroyed their church. The groom says the Pope jumped in, asking, "Do you want me to marry you?" An improvised marriage certificate was handwritten by a bishop on board and signed by the Pope, the couple's witness, their airline chairman. The in-flight wedding, part of a dramatic day for the pontiff. Driving to an event this afternoon, the Popemobile appeared to startle a police horse, tossing its officer to the ground. Pope Francis stunned the crowd, stopping his motorcade and staying with her until an ambulance arrived. Tonight, she's recovering. And that lucky couple, they're off to their second honeymoon after a wedding story made just shy of heaven. Keir Simmons, NBC News.
And that is nightly news for this Thursday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning on Today. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night.